Welcome back, everybody, to Amud Yomi. Today we're up to Daf Mem Amud Beis, and we are on the top of Daf Mem Amud Beis. And the Gemara goes and starts by introducing another related Isser when it comes to bathing on Shabbos. So a person's allowed to warm himself in front of a fire and then go out and rinse himself with cold water on Shabbos, that would be fine. As long as you don't do the opposite, which is go to the cold water first and then go and warm yourself in front of the fire. Why? Because it is going to warm the water that is on you. Now, we're not afraid that you're going to cook the water that is on you. It's not going to get that hot, but we're afraid that this is an extension of the Gzera that we said it's usher to bathe with hot water on Shabbos. Now says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan Rabbah Sonas Rabbeisa, Mecham Adam Aluntis Umanicha Al B'nei Me'ayim B'Shabbos. A person's allowed to heat a towel and put it on his stomach on Shabbos if they are having a stomach ache. V'vachal Yavi Kumkumos Shomayim Chamim Yanichanu Al B'nei Me'ayim B'Shabbos. As long as they don't bring a kettle of hot water and put it on their stomach on Shabbos. Now there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim what the issue would be over here. So Rashi says the issue is if you bring this hot kettle of water on Shabbos on your stomach, it's going to be another Rochet's issue that you're going to be like bathing on Shabbos in hot water. That's going to be the problem. I guess it seems pretty likely that would be the pshat based on the context. Tosos explains the issue is one of maybe schita, that if you have the towel there, it's going to get wet and then you're going to pisochet it, you're going to wring it out, and that's going to be a problem. Or maybe it's an issue of refuah. We know that medicine's not allowed on Shabbos, so maybe it would go along those lines. But either way, you're not allowed to put this kettle of hot water on your stomach on Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, even during the week, this is not such a good thing to do. Forget about Shabbos, because this is something which is pretty dangerous. You got to be very careful. Now comes the Gemara and talks about warming other substances in front of a fire on Shabbos. A person's allowed to bring a pitcher of water and place it in front of a fire, not in order to heat it, but just to get rid of the chill. Now, it's very important. If you look at this Gemara, it kind of sounds like if you have no intent to cook, but you're just trying to get rid of the chill, you're allowed to put it by something which has the potential to cook it. But this is not the way we paskin at all. You are not allowed to do any sort of cooking or even something that has the potential to be done for cooking on Shabbos. The case is just you're putting it next to a blech. It's not going to get hot enough to cook, but it might just take away the chill. So this is the first sheet of the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma is saying that you're allowed to take this water and take away the chill. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the second sheet, that a woman's allowed to bring a flask of oil and put it in front of a fire. You're not allowed to do this to cook it, rather just for it to be warmed slightly. That would be okay. So it seems like these two shitas are arguing. Now a third shita, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Isha sacha yada shemen umischamta kineged hamadura, that a woman's allowed to anoint her hand with oil and warm it in front of a fire, meaning so you can't bring a whole jar of oil, but you could put a little bit on your hand, make it a little bit of warm, visacha livna katan, and you're allowed to then put it on your small son to make him feel better, whatever it is, and there is no issue of violating the Shabbos. So again, three shitas. The first shita was the Tanna Kamma with water, second shita was Rabbi Yehuda with oil, and the third shita was the most machmir, that you can't bring water or oil, but just smeared oil would be okay. So Ibailuhu asked the Gemara based on this discussion. Shemen mahu Tanna Kamma. So we said the first shita is the Tanna Kamma, who says that you're allowed to bring this water in front of the fire to take away the chill. But the Tanna Kamma doesn't comment on this oil situation. So does the Tanna Kamma say that you would be allowed to bring oil, or you would not be allowed to bring oil to take away the chill from the oil? So there's a machlokas about this. Rabbah, Rav Yosef, Darmei Tavar, Yulhet, Teres, Rabbah, and Rav Yosef both say that they would be allowed to. The Tanna Kamma would hold that you are allowed to place oil in front of the fire. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Le'isura. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says you would not be allowed to put oil in front of the fire. Again, this is not to cook the thing necessarily, or at all, really. We're going to talk about this in just a minute in terms of oil and cooking. But are you even allowed to place it in front of the fire? This seems to be a machlok. Guess what? The Tanna Kamma held to Rabbah. Rav Yosef Darmei Tavar Yulet Teres Rabbah. And Rav Yosef both held that it's going to be okay. Shemen Afal Pishah Yad Soledes Bo Mutter. Because they hold that oil, even though it is Yad Soledes Bo. This is something we're going to talk more about in today's Amud, but in a very important shear. This is the shear for how hot something has to get to cook when it comes to liquid midil, right? So yad soled espo, we're going to talk about what this means. But oil, even if it's yad soled espo, it is going to be okay. Why? Because kasavar Tanna Kamma shemen ein bo mishum bishul. Because the Tanna Kamma holds that oil, this again is within the sheets of Rabbah and Rav Yosef that hold that the Tanna Kamma is matir, that says it's allowed. So the Tanna Kamma holds that oil is not subject to cooking because it's always the same. Whether it's cooked or not, it's always the same. Aser Rabbi Yehuda lemeimar, then the second sheet in that raisa would be Rabbi Yehuda. He said shemen yesh bo mishum bishul v'efshiro lo zehu bishulo. He says that really shemen does have bishul. You could cook oil, which would be a problem. But over here, you're just just heating it up just to get rid of the chill, and that's going to be okay. This was the middle shita. And then, v'asa Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, l'meimar, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who was the most machmir shita, he comes and says, shemen yeshua mishum bishul v'hev shero zeu bishulo, that you are not allowed to cook oil, because oil is subject to cooking, and just heating it would be considered enough of a cooking to be a problem. That's how the brisa plays out, with the Tanakama holding that it's going to be mutter, even when it comes to oil. Now, the opposite way, how would the brisa read if we hold that the Tanakama holds that it's going to be usher with the oil to put it next to the fire? So, what does that mean? So, the Tanakama says, Shemen afa pisha in hayad soledispo usher. So, he holds that the Tanakama would say that when it comes to oil, even if it's not yad soledispo, it's still going to be usher. Why? Because kasavar shemen yishpo mishum bishul vef shero zehu bishul. Because he holds that oil is subject to cooking, and warming it is an act of cooking, and it's going to be a problem. Usher, Rabbi Yehuda lemem rav shero zehu bishul. Then comes Rabbi Yehuda in the brisa, the second shita, and he says, no, that just warming it up is not going to be considered cooking, and that's why just warming it up would be enough. Asar Bisham Gamliel Meimar, and then the most machmir shita comes Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and he says Shemen Yishpo Mishum Bishul VeAfsher Ozeu Bishulo, that oil is subject to cooking and warming is an act of cooking. So it comes out though that we have the same shita twice. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Hainu Tanakama. It comes out that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama are both very machmir according to the shita, and they both say that you're not allowed to cook oil. Oil is subject to cooking, and they both hold that just heating it up is going to be considered cooking. So what's the difference between them? The difference would be, is let's say you warmed it up in a very unusual manner. Normally, there's a cool on Shabbos that we need to know in terms of at least not being an Isser Derais. If you do something kila achar yad, if you do it something in an unusual manner, in a backhanded way, it's not going to be fully Isser. So what would be the halacha here? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would hold that in this weird way it would be okay, and the Tanakama makes no such suggestion, and therefore it would be usher even in this type of situation. Now comes the Gemara and tells us about Yad Soledispo, and important to know that we paskin this way, that Yad Soledispo is the determining factor when it comes to bishul, when it comes to liquid. So Amar Yud Amar Shmuel Echad Shemen V'Echad Mayim, whether it comes to oil or water, Yad Soledispo usher, in Yad Soledispo mutter. If it gets to the point of Yad Soledispo, the point that your hand will recoil from it, then it is prohibited, but if it does not get to that point, then it's going to be mutter. And what's considered Yad Soledispo? Because people have different tolerance for pain or for heat. So how do you know which one's which? So Amar Rachava explains, Kol Shekreso Sheltinok Nichves. Anything that if you put this hot water on an infant's belly, it would get scalded. That would be the problem. So that's the objective heating temperature that we see. Now, this is a big machlokes, what the temperature this would be, anywhere between 104, 160, we assume around the 110, 113 area. So very important to know this when it comes to bishul on Shabbos. This is the temperature, this is how hot something needs to get in order to have bishul midei raisa on a liquid on Shabbos. When it comes to cooking solid food, that's where we have mechal medrusha, that's when it comes to a fully cooked, whatever it may be. But when it comes to liquid, yad soledispo is the bottom line, the most important thing. Now comes the Gemara and teaches us a story, and this story is going to be the whole source for kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shishli. This is something very important to know. So Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi says, Pam achas nechnasti achar Rabbi lebeis hamerchat. So on one time I followed Rabbi into the Chamei Tveria, into the bathhouse on Shabbos. You're allowed to bathe in this Chamei Tveria. It was kind of warm water, but it was warmed up in a weird way through the underground stuff. So this is when it would be okay to bathe on Shabbos. And I wanted to put a flask of oil in the hot bathtub in order to warm it up, because he was going to anoint him with oil. So he wanted to warm up the oil a little bit before. And Rebbe said back to him, Rebbe said, take some water in a klisheni, in a secondary vessel, and then you can warm it up. So from here we learn three things. Shmamina yeshemin yeshbo mishum bishul. We learn that oil is subject to cooking. Shmamina klisheni enu mevashal, that if something is in a klisheni, in a secondary vessel, it is not capable of cooking. And we also learned that warming it up is in fact cooking. Now the big question everyone asks about kli sheni. So again, imagine you take something from an urn, and that's a kli rishon. You put it in a kli sheni. Now it's in a kli sheni. Are you allowed to cook in that kli sheni? That is the question. So the big question everyone asks, there are situations where a kli sheni is going to be hotter than a kli rishon, yet we still seem to have this rule of kli sheni eino mevashel. So what's the pshat? What determines why is something considered kli sheni, kli rishon? So Tosfos has a whole idea here that it's about the walls. If it's in something where it's going to be getting hotter, meaning it's an original heat source, even though it's really hot right now, it's just continuing to get hotter, that's going to be a kli rishon, that's going to be a big issue. But kli sheni is something where it's on its way down in terms of temperature, it's going to be cooling off, that's why it would have this status of kli sheni. The Or Sameach and others have a whole yesod that it's about distance from the initial source of heat, and that's really the key. But more importantly for us is to remember, just a few days ago, we did stuff called Kale HaBishel. We spoke about certain things that are so easily cooked that even in a klisheni, they would be able to be cooked. And that would be a big problem because it loses the heter of klisheni when it's something that could easily be cooked. We nowadays don't know what qualifies as something which is easily cooked and stuff which is not easily cooked. So therefore, we are generally machmir when it comes to this. So that's why even klisheni mavasho, we are very careful not to cook even in the klisheni. Does klishlishi exist? So we know this concept sometimes. They say if you pour it from another cup, then maybe it would be okay. So some say the Gemara doesn't mention it, so clearly it would be treated just like a klisheni. Why would it be any different? But Rav Moshe comes and says, no, it wasn't mentioned. And the reason it wasn't mentioned is because that for sure would be good. So this is what many people rely on with klishlishi. This is where it comes from the shita of Rav Moshe. So let's do a little bit more of the Gemara. The Gemara now goes on a side question, just in the story, about how Rebbe could talk about Torah in the bathhouse. How could he do this? You've got to think about Torah anywhere except for in the bathhouse and in the bathroom. And if you're going to say he just didn't talk in Lashon HaKodesh, then that would be okay. But Abaye says, if you're talking about secular things, it doesn't matter what language you speak it in. And Shal Kodesh, so if you're talking about Torah, then you're not going to talk about it in any language. How is he allowed to do this? So answer the Gemara, Afrushe Mi Yisru Rashayin. You know, so to prevent someone from violating a Torah Isser or from violating an Isser, that's when it would be okay, even in the bathhouse. And Teda, you should know that we have a proof for this. There's an incident involving the student of Rabbi Meir, who followed Rabbi Meir into the bathhouse, and he wanted to wash the floor of the pool for him. And he said, don't do this. And he wanted to smear the floor with some sort of oil to make it more pleasant. And Rabbi Meir said, don't do this. How is he allowed to say these things in the bathhouse? So we see that to prevent someone from violating an Isser, there it would be okay. So here too, to prevent someone from violating an Isser, that's why Rabbi was able to say this. This is Daf Mem Amud Beis. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.